Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. And today we have a very, very excited guest on board because she's an Aussie. Yay! We've had a lot of Americans on board and I've now got an Aussie again and I haven't had one for a little while. So it's actually really nice. And it's funny because when I first started, I had lots of Aussies and now I'm getting lots of Americans and Canadians and it's really lovely. Nice change. But today, yes, you'll find that we've both got the same accent or similar, so you'll get used to our voices. But my guest today, subscribe, share. That's what we ask you to do if you don't mind. It gets that information out there because we don't get paid to do this. We do this because we have a passion and our passion is to be able to help people and in many different ways. So to share the podcast or to subscribe to it makes us feel like we're doing good, you know, we're doing okay. So, but with no further ado, I want to introduce you to this amazing woman and her name is Stacey Webb. Welcome on board, Stacey.
Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I feel so honoured and privileged to be here.
Now, Stacey, your voice is a bit quiet. We've tried to turn it up. So what I might do is turn mine down so I'm not too loud. And then if they turn up the volume, they're not going to have me bounding at them and you very, very quiet. So just I just hope that I'm not too loud. All right. Now, let's get stuck into this. Now, Tracy's got a great story, a great understanding, a great learning behind her. She was a policewoman in Australia. Actually, I think you're a detective, weren't you?
Yes, I was, yep.
Yeah. So I want you to share your amazing story. How do you get to where you are now? Because now you are a intuitive trauma release mentor. So how did you get from being a detective to being an intuitive trauma release mentor?
it was a very long journey, but a very loving one at the same point. So I joined the police force as soon as I could in terms of age. In Australia, in the state that I'm in, you had to be able to graduate from the police academy when you're 19 years old. And so I did that and I pretty much had been a police officer for most of my adult life. And as you can imagine, when you're a police officer, you are attending a number of jobs and you are facing people when they're in their multiple states of trauma, when they're in fear of something that's happened to them in the past, and also possibly of them being in fear of what could happen in the future. And so for me, I was being in that in a place with them at their most vulnerable, where they were at different states of their own trauma. And as my time within the police force, my career had progressed from being in uniform to becoming a detective. And I mainly specialised in sexual assault investigations. So I predominantly was with a number of victims who had been sexually assaulted and were in various states of trauma throughout the time that I'd been with them as well. And so with that, I felt that I was then able to create and hold space for these victims when it came to taking their statements, when it came to, you know, through the court process until them actually giving evidence. There'd be multiple times when I would need to be with them for my work and they would be, again, in different states of trauma each time that they'd be with me. And so for me, I wanted to be more aware of that. And so I did further study myself on getting the basic neuroscience of trauma behind me. So I was able to recognize and be aware of the possible different states that my victims or witnesses or even offenders were in that would have give me a better insight as to how I can at times be able to cater to their states of trauma while still be able to get the information that I needed for my investigations. And all of that came down to their nervous system and being able to be in a space where I was able to co-regulate their nervous system while they're in a state of trauma. And so as time had went on, I did more further study and I followed my intuition pretty much, which was that a beautiful internal struggle until I surrendered to it and just listened and trusted and followed it, was that I really wanted to be in a space with people that was more on helping release trauma from their body. And whenever we are in a state of trauma and it is stuck and we're in that trauma state, it's because it's stuck in our body still. And so I wanted to, I guess, be in that place where I was able to assist and guide them so that they can know the tools for themselves, so that they can be aware of their nervous system and how they can acknowledge and see possibly what states of trauma they're in, to go through the tools themselves to help release that trauma. And so with that, I just ended up following my intuition to actually doing this work. And I couldn't have felt more free within myself to do that, you know, to actually know that I can have and create and hold that space for them so that they can create that safety within themselves, so that they can cultivate this beautiful relationship with themselves. For some of those people, they've never been able to do throughout their whole lives. And to know that they, whatever fear or trauma has happened in their life so far, that that doesn't need to be the driver's seat in their life to be the lead of all of their decisions, that they can still have this beautiful, embodied, loving life and know that they can do that out of love. And so that's, I guess, the a bit of a short of a long version of how I got here today. And I just felt like that was what I needed to do in life.
Yeah. Okay. Now, there's a few other things I want to ask you there. But the first thing I want to go back into is you're talking about types of trauma or levels of trauma. I'd like to just really narrow it down even more. Like, how do we get trauma? I mean, we all experience trauma in different ways and in different manners, but how do we know that that trauma is actually affecting us? Like, are we holding it in a particular place? Are we doing anything in particular? How do we know? Because, I mean, to be honest, throughout life, we can go through a lot of trauma. Which ones are sticking? Which ones aren't? Which ones are really affecting us and which ones aren't? I guess I'm just asking too many questions at once, one at a time. Okay.
That's okay.
You answer which one you want to answer first.
I guess what I can do to help with the easies is that, yes, we all, you could have five people see and experience the same thing in front of them, and they will themselves within their body have a different reaction and experience to that. And that's all due to, you know, our own lives, our own conditioning growing up, people's resilience, you know, intergenerational traumas and everything like that. But essentially what we have within our nervous system, within our autonomic nervous system, is we have our ventral vagal state. So we have that sense of safety. And this is where we are feeling more open and curious to want to learn things. And then we also have our fight or flight. And that's when our cortisol rises, and, you know, we can experience fight or flight for a various number of things. It could be if a car pulls out in front of you and you get into a bit of a fight and you might yell and stuff like that. Or it could be because, you know, someone has stolen something from you. So we can respond to that different ways. Then we also have the dorsal vagal state, which is our freeze or fawn state. So when we are in a state, in a state of trauma, we go from our safety, our ventral vagal state, to either fight or flight or freeze. And fawn kind of encapsulates all of them at different points. And so we are supposed to go between these states. Naturally, within our lives, day to day, it is our nervous system's way of protecting us. It's our survival. So we're supposed to, at times, be in fight or flight, freeze or fawn. But what we're not supposed to do is stay in that. When we stay in that, we're stuck in a trauma response state. So, for instance, if someone had stolen your handbag, you could either be in a fight response where you end up chasing them. You could be in a flight response where you could run away to seek cover. You could be in a freeze response where you just stay still and don't move. Or you could be in a fawn response where you help them get the bag, so to avoid confrontation and just to allow them to go. So there's in that small scenario itself, there are four different ways that you could react to what's happened. Now, all of those are perfectly normal responses for what's happened. But what then happens after that is if you stay in that response to being having your bag stolen from you, that means that that trauma is stuck in your body. And So when something may happen in the future and your body thinks it's coming back to that time when your purse was taken from you, and you go back into whatever your fight, flight, freeze or fawn response, whatever the response was at that time, it's showing that your body doesn't recognize time, and your body thinks that that trauma of your bag being stolen from you has happened again. And so to protect you, to help you survive, it's done those responses for you. So we don't choose these responses.
So it's repeating it. So it's just repeating it.
Yes.
Right. So if we've got this particular thing that's happened, this particular trauma that's happened, and something that happens that's similar to it, we would naturally just go back to what we were. Yeah. And that's when they talk about those pathways, isn't it? The stronger the pathways they start to develop, isn't it? Where we automatically do it.
Yeah. And it basically then comes to those triggers. So something will happen that triggers your autonomic nervous system, and your nervous system thinks it's going back to the incident when it happened. That a trauma incident that's stuck in your body, and it thinks that it needs to keep you to survive. And so, you know, another example is if you have a car accident and you get anxiety or stress or real sadness when you're coming up to driving past the place where you had that car accident. That's this trigger that's come within your body because it's starting, your body has activated its responses thinking it needs to protect you because your body thinks you're going to have this car accident again when in fact you're just driving past the car accident site. And so that's where we know that trauma is stuck in our body, and we need to work on how we can release it from that body so we can remove that emotional charge and allow the body to know that you're safe and that you're not going to, you're driving past the site, you're not having the car accident again, so to speak. And so we need to allow our nervous system to know that it's safe so it doesn't have to go into those survival responses for you.
So you're looking at those triggers that are creating it. So if we're in the example of the car accident, so the car accident was the actual trauma, but the trigger is maybe that spot where it happened. And so when you're doing your work, you're actually looking at those triggers and adjusting or changing it up there, are you?
That's right, yeah. So for those triggers, and it could be, yes, that car accident, but what we can do is we delve deeper. We don't re-traumatize people, so we only do what they're comfortable to do. But in saying that, we can help working with trauma without you actually saying the event that happened, because it's not so much about the event, it's about how your body felt at that time.
Yes.
And what comes within that. And so for someone with that car accident, how that body felt at that time is what we need, not so much about what happened story-wise.
Yes.
And so that's where we go. Yeah.
Because so you're not reliving that story over and over again. No.
It's more about allowing that body to feel safe. So what was the fear in that body that was happening in that time, and why is it still stuck there? And we delve deep into the roots of that, and that is where we can help release it. Not so much about making you say that story again. You don't even have to say the story for us to work on that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really interesting. And of course, when we think about trauma, it can be so minor and yet so extreme. I would imagine you have seen some extreme cases too in what you were doing in your line of work as a detective or as a police officer. If somebody's experiencing that trauma, like, what are they actually going through at the time? And is there anything you can do to help somebody when they're going through it?
Well, what we can do, and this is something that everyone can do in everyday life, is being able to ensure that you regulate your own nervous system, and that knowing that we can help co-regulate other people's nervous systems, because at the end of the day, love is always over fear. We choose love over fear. But when we're in a trauma response, it's because our body has chosen fear. And so if we bring in that love and we can help co-regulate someone else's nervous system, even when they're in a traumatic state, when we're not taking away the trauma that's happened to them, we can't, you know, turn back time. But what we can do is helping with that co-regulation, is helping that trauma not being stuck in the body. It's helping that trauma being released so that they're able to then regulate themselves too, and then being able to continue on with that. So if you may have a friend who's extremely upset and they're absolutely bawling their eyes out, and they're absolute in tears, they're distraught because something has happened to them. You know, they're in a dysregulated state. Their nervous system is dysregulated and they're in their own trauma response. If they're crying and they're, you know, sitting down in tears, everything like that, you know, they're starting to go into the free state in terms of being that sadness that's coming up. And what we're not doing, we're not wanting them to be happy because they're in a sad state. But what we can do is that we can be in space with them. So you would normally then you'd sit down with them. You might have your hand on their shoulder or something like that to help them know that they're not alone, to witness them in that grief and knowing that it's okay to cry. And helping them maybe perhaps when they're, you know, stopping that breathing because they're, you know, so upset, is to, okay, just take a breath. Allow yourself to breathe. It's okay to cry. You don't have to hide it, you know, because some people want to try and, because they're conditioned to not expose their vulnerability and to not cry, is that they want to cover up that they've been crying and show themselves being stoic. But what they may need is actually just to let that out and to know that it's safe and comfortable to do that. And that, you know, during that time, just allowing them, being there with them and breathing with them, reminding them to breathe if they're not breathing. You know, and there's more things they can do that, but that's just even the basics of what you can do to help co-regulate someone. Our beautiful heart fields extend beyond our body. So you can imagine if you're sitting next to someone, your heart fields are touching. They can feel your energy. And if they can feel that you're there out of love for them, without judgment to them, caring for them, being in space with them, witnessing them, hearing what they have to say and allowing them to just say it and reminding them with a few breaths, their heart field as well is going to feel that. That's going to help co-regulate their nervous system, and that's going to help them release part of that trauma that doesn't need to be stuck inside their body. So, you know, whatever may happen, and they, you know, may stop crying when they feel that that's what it's needed, that their body is ready to go, and then they can feel a little bit more prepared to continue on with their day or face something else within what's happened, and now label them to go deeper within their own journey.
Wow, you explained that so nicely. That was gorgeous. Before I go on any further, Stacey's website is a www.stacyweb. So it's STACEY. W E B B
www.jobs.com.au. Now, remember, Australian business, so we've got the AU at the end, which I have to tell everybody because of mine.
Yeah. Yes. If you do a .com, you'll I think you see a physio in America.
Oh, okay. And if that's what you need, go there. But otherwise, do the AU. The Art of Intuition is exactly the same. So they've got this book otherwise if you haven't got the AU on it. Now, Stace, when you were talking about that, so you're talking about a grieving friend or somebody who's traumatized or someone who's upset and they're crying, and you're going through that and you're helping them how you've explained it, which was really, really a beautiful way of explaining it. You know, even just that hand on the shoulder and acknowledging it, and that, especially the heart center, you know, having that hearts interlocking like that, that energy. What I'd like to know now is, okay, so they've gone through that and you've done all the right things, or what you feel is the right things to help them and support them. How do you know if that person, your friend, is actually holding on to that trauma? How can we assess that and sort of go, okay, it's probably time to look at getting professional help, or, you know, because you're saying the trauma is a problem when we hold on to it. So how do we know that our best friend, our friend there that we've been counselling or not counselling, but, you know, consoling is the word I'm thinking of, that you're helping, how do we know whether they're actually holding on to that?
Well, look, for some of it may be as that time goes on as well. You know, they're not going to be able to tell you everything. You know, they may not tell you everything they're feeling. But we always, you know, we always then also go in touch into our, in tune with our intuition. If you're number one feeling that they're holding it on, then approach them about that so that they can seek medical professional help and everything like that as well. There's nothing worse that you can do if you are reaching out to someone that you love and asking them if they're okay. You know, I think a lot of people fear asking if someone is okay in case the answer is not what they're expecting. Yes. And so there's nothing wrong to sort of even check in with them. How are you going with whatever has happened? How are you feeling? You know, how are you feeling in your body? It's not, again, so much about the story that comes with it. It's how does your body feel? If it feels a bit of sadness still, know that that's okay. And that it can, you know, maybe it just needs more assistance to see what's deeper for that. And we sometimes think if we're sad for a really long time that it must automatically be bad. And therefore for a lot of people, they don't want to expose that. They don't want to say that, because then that may think that there's something wrong with them, when there's nothing wrong with them at all. And there's nothing wrong with having that extra love to help him work on yourself, to help giving yourself that extra love and to seeing what is deeper than that. Because whatever the initial thing that made you really upset, what maybe be beneath that could be something more deeper. And that something that's there that's made you upset is now letting you look into it deeper if you're happy to. And allowing, you know, possibly generational trauma or conditioning that's happened in your life that you now want to release, and allowing that to come out. And so you may not always know exactly when that's going to happen or what to do, but there's nothing wrong with just checking in with your friend. How are you going? How are you feeling? Mm. And whatever that answer is, not labeling it as good or bad. And again, just still being in space with that. If you want to seek additional help, you know, enable them to do that. But a part of that healing, everyone has their own healing journey. Everyone has their own layers that they'll need to go through. We can't force them to go through those layers, but we can certainly assist and guide when they need it and help with those integrations of their own realizing an awareness of different layers of their own healing journey. And when that happens, that's when things start to release as well, because we end up having more compassion for ourselves. We end up having more forgiveness to ourselves. We end up having, you know, this beautiful unlearning and relearning of parts of life. We end up having this beautiful or curiosity that comes back to our body, because we're creating safety in our body to help us be able to come back to that ventral vagal state that I mentioned about, that sense of safety. And when we're in this beautiful sense of safety, we feel groundedness, we feel connection, we are open to curiosity. And when we're open to curiosity, we can allow those subtle signs and listen to those subtle sounds of our intuition, which also help us on our beautiful healing journey. And, you know, for us to be able to listen to that, because intuition is very subtle over there, and ego can be really loud and fear can be really loud, is when we're in a beautiful regulated state, or at least being able to be in a beautiful co-regulated state to enable us to acknowledge that that's our intuition and be listen to it and see what it has to say. Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool. So basically, even when they've gone through the trauma, you're almost just repeating it. You're just making sure you're there if they need it, allowing them to talk, allowing them to, you know, weep if they need to, whatever they need to help them get through it. But that's really cool. So there, if they get to that state where you feel that they do need professional help, then yes, you would suggest that and sort of go and allow them to decide. Yeah,
that's right. Allow them to decide if they want to seek a counsellor. Allow them to seek that's their choice. So they'll seek whichever assistance that they want. And for my clients, I see clients that also, and I for some of them ensure that that's a part of our plan of working together, is that they are seeing a medical professional that is a therapist or a counsellor or a psychologist or anything like that, because I'm not one of those, but I am more of a mentor in terms of that beautiful guiding of your own nervous system, to help empower your own nervous system, to help you on that healing journey, to go through the roots of what may be behind the trauma that's within your body, and helping that release it from the energetic level. And so from that, for me, it's more of, you know, that beautiful somatic level, soma being meaning the body. That's where I do my work in terms of my work as an intuitive trauma release mentor. And so I incorporate things such as EFT tapping, emotional freedom techniques tapping. I incorporate breath work. I incorporate somatic work. I incorporate embodiment. I incorporate intuition. And all of that blended in with all of those certifications that I have, is helping my client tune into their body to create safety within their body. Because for them to be able to release the trauma is that they need to do it themselves. And sometimes people just don't know how. And that's where I come in, is to help assist and guide you to be able to do that. And we help release triggers.
So
they don't have that emotional charge as what it had. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're doing it in a safe space for them too, aren't you? That's what makes it a huge difference. They've got to feel comfortable. And I've said it before with many therapists and coaches and you know, anyone like that, if you don't feel comfortable with that person, then you don't feel safe, and you shouldn't be going through with that. You know, you don't go there. Find another person that you feel comfortable with. And when you're talking about making sure that they're still seeking that professional help, what I like about people like yourself is that you've had the experience and you've had that real connection, that real deep down connection to the understanding of it. And a lot of therapists or higher profile people or higher qualified people tend to get a lot of their learnings from theory, and so they've not really experienced it the same way, whereas you have experienced it. If you might not have done it personally, but you've been with people that have experienced this sort of thing, and you've got a really good understanding of it. And that's where I find I connect better with somebody, when I know that they've gone through something similar or they have experience with it, and then you can really connect and get a really clear understanding of it. So yeah, I think it's amazing. And it's people like you that really, I know I shouldn't say this, but it's people like you that I really see the bigger growth happening with people that are experiencing trauma and issues like that, because you've really focused and you've really narrowed down in that area. You know about it. You've experienced it yourself. You've got a really clear understanding. And so you can help. You're not just going from a book saying, well, this is what you've got. This is what you're diagnosed as. And so, yeah, take medication. You know, that doesn't necessarily work. But I love that you've got these hands-on techniques to help them. So that's brilliant. But Stace, the other thing I want to ask you, now you have got a book out, and I wanted to get to this because I find this so fascinating. So Stacey's got a book out. Remember, it's Stacey Webb with double B at .com.au. That's the website. The book is called The Intuitive Detective by Stacey Webb. Got a wrong name already. What is the book about? I haven't read it. I haven't even seen it. What is the book about? Is it about actual detective? Is it about intuition? Or is it about trauma? So what's it all about?
So the book is a memoir of my life. And I share snippets of my early childhood, including my childhood trauma, how I broke away from this conditioning that I placed upon myself on perfectionism and people pleasing, and followed my intuition to even join the police force, and shares different jobs that I attended as a police officer and detective on how that affected my life, and how listening to my intuition, and at times may have avoided or deflected or pushed away my intuition, how that actually shaped my life. And so with that brings forth this beautiful, at times, understanding within myself, and being able to have this beautiful awareness of where I've been at when I've been in a trauma state myself, with depression, PTSD and things like that, and how I was able to bring awareness to that, to go through and work on my own healing journey, and to go through the different layers and uncover and release a lot of trauma from myself, and doing all of that by, again, tuning into my body, being aware of my nervous system, listening and being and guided and trusting my intuition that has allowed me to go on these beautiful healing journeys. So as I said, I incorporate my early childhood, some of my time being in a police force, and my current day life experiences as a human, as a woman, as a mother, and how all of that has shaped my life purely from listening to my intuition, being guided and trusted with it, and how that's been able to help my own healing journey. So that's the overall view of the book.
So when I said that you've experienced this before, I had no idea about what you, because we didn't talk about anything like that, but you have experienced it. You have been there, because I was thinking the experience, you've seen that experience. So you've got that feeling, and being intuitive, you would be empathic too. So you'd be feeling the emotions that people are going through. So that's when I was going, oh, so you would have experienced it, but you've actually have as child with, you know, childhood trauma and things like that. Yeah. And we can hold on to that childhood stuff forever.
Definitely. My father passed away when I was 12, and that was the most traumatic thing that happened when I was a child. And it still at times obviously affects me to this day. I do cry every time it's his birthday, and I do cry every time it's the day of his death every year. And for me to know that that's okay, because I am in grief, and I love him, and he's my father, and I grieve the things that we've missed over those times. And I label myself to do that and not feel that it needs to be bottled up, because what I did for many years was bottle up my grief and feel that I had to project to everyone else that I'm okay, because I had to be the good girl, and I had to help care for the family, and I had to, you know, be the, I felt that I had to be the backbone of the family. And so I was not wanting to share my vulnerability, because I didn't want to be a burden to anyone, because I was busy taking care of anyone else that I didn't think anyone else would want to take care of me. And so for me, actually, over those years, having to, you know, allowing myself to actually work on that and to know that sadness doesn't mean that it's bad, and to unlearn that conditioning that I had to have with that, and to allow myself to, you know, it's okay to grieve, but knowing that there are also other times where I can, throughout the year, have an amazing laugh about a memory of my dad and share that with my children, and not always now feel in such sadness, but I can also now feel so much love and joy and happiness from that memory as well now, by allowing myself with the work that I've done and seeing my children being happy on hearing this memory of my father and not having the instant reaction of sadness all the time. And it's just allowing this beautiful balance of these beautiful energies. And that's only just one of the things that I mentioned in the book in terms of my own trauma and how I've and my own healing journey on how I worked on myself. And I share in the book on different things that's happened within my life to allow that little bit more awareness into even the death of my father, allow that little bit more awareness of that, because for so long I was in so fear of learning about it that I pushed it away, thinking that it was going to be bad on facing the fear, when in fact facing my fear, leaning into that with this beautiful curiosity and love, enabled me to go release a lot of that and go deeper within my own journey of it. And so, you know, that's a beautiful thing, is we sometimes see fear as extremely bad when it's asking us to look deeper in something. There's this charge there that wants us to look in there, and it's okay to have an emotional charge. It's okay to cry, but to know, okay, well, what is it wanting to reveal to us? What is it going a little bit deeper? And sometimes it may come up, okay, that's there because I'm coming up with this little bit of fear of abandonment, because dad died when I was 12 and I felt abandoned when that happened. Okay. And so what is coming up with that? What can I look into that and go, okay, with whatever's happening right now that's making me have this emotional charge of fear of abandonment, is this really true? Do I know this to be very true? No. You know, like, this person who didn't call me back after a day isn't abandoning me. Maybe they're just busy. And is it bad if they don't want to call me back? Well, no, not really. That's their boundary and I have to respect that. And so allowing me to have that extra awareness and not always going back to, you know, thinking it's always about my own trauma, going back to my fear of abandonment, allowing me to release that. So now if someone doesn't call me back after a day, I'm not going to be freaking out thinking it's, you know, that they don't like me or something, allowing me to go on my own healing journey with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're asking those questions and just going deeper and deeper and not accepting the first answer. You know, which is what we often do. We sort of go, oh, well, I don't like that, and that's because of this. And you've given yourself an answer and you don't go any deeper. Whereas you're talking about that awareness to go a bit deeper and go, well, why? You know, what else does that mean? What else does it look like? Is that true? You know, so you're asking those questions and going deeper and deeper, which is really amazing. The book, remember the book, The Intuitive Detective by Stacey Webb. Okay. And you can get that on staceywebb.com.au. Now, oh, there was something else I was going to ask. Now I've forgotten what it was. Tell me a little bit more. So when you do your sessions, yours is mainly all one-on-one. So you're in Sydney. Yeah.
So I do one-on-one and group work. So I do one-on-one intuitive release mentoring sessions. And I also do one-on-one rebirth in breathwork sessions. I also do group work. I hold monthly circles called Connection, and that is a connection circle on nervous system healing. So where we're all together and we do self-regulation and co-regulative nervous system tools on ourselves in circle to help our nervous system, to help our nervous system on its beautiful healing journey. It's not about always making sure that we come back to safety, because there may be something that, you know, you need that little bit of awareness and witnessing yourself in whatever state that is, but it's allowing this beautiful healing journey for your nervous system. And so it allows to know that it can have this safety within your body, that you can cultivate this beautiful relationship with your body and be curious with what your body is trying to tell you rather than what your mind is saying. And so I do those as well as rebirth in breathwork circles, and I encourage people, if they're curious to want to learn about their nervous system and that to attend those. The beautiful part of my connection circles is that you don't have to have the camera on for you to participate in. It's about allowing yourself to create that safety. And then maybe at that point that you don't feel safe to have the camera on as you're doing our nervous system tools. And those tools are EFT tapping, their breath work. It's it could be some journaling. It could be some embodiment. It could be some somatic work. And it's allowing them to feel safety within themselves. For some people, it's allowing that to have that with the camera off. And for other people, they turn it on throughout.
Sorry, can I just ask, when you say with the camera off, you're saying you're doing it online?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you had to be there when you, because of course, circles in the olden days from my time, we had to be there. There was no internet in then. So when you're talking
online
about
online circles, yes.
Online circles. Oh, because that's where I'm going. Oh, that's not much good for my American listeners. But yes, online circles, absolutely.
And yeah, with so we meet up on Zoom. Yeah. We meet up on Zoom, and that's what I mean about if they don't want to have their camera on. And you find some people throughout the circle do put on their camera. And to also know that it's okay if they don't turn on their camera. It's not about, we don't need the validation of having the camera on. It's about your own healing journey, your own nervous system. And so it's more about allowing you to create that safety within yourself. And if you need to do that with the camera off, then you do that with the camera off. Other people have the camera on and they have the camera on. You'll always see me with the camera on because I'm obviously there in circle, and I'm okay with the fact if I'm the only one with the camera on. Because again, it's not about me, it's about the beautiful circle in itself. So
Oh, that sounds really lovely. Yeah, and a great way to meet other people not necessarily in your area as well. It could be overseas.
Yes.
So definitely jump on the website for that one. Have a look at that one. But Stacey, we're just about out of time. Have you got anything else you want to sort of any other tidbit or anything else you want to share with us?
Firstly, that the breath is so underrated. The breath can do amazing things. And even just at one point of the day, just tuning into yourself, either having your hand on your heart space on the center of your chest and just taking the beautiful deep breath in and out. Just even starting that once a day, just doing that is a beautiful thing, knowing that your breath, even though we don't have to think to breathe, knowing that we can use our breath to help us. And it's so underrated in that. So that's all there. And if you are curious about my book, also know it's available at major online, like wherever you can get books. So Amazon, Kindle, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, for us in Aussie land, in Dimox Online, and your local bookstores can order it in as well.
Cool. Hang on, before you go, because you were getting me in then, I just want to do, and I want you to take us through three nice, big, deep, heart-covered breaths, because I just want to, I'm going to turn off my camera. It's just going to be you on the screen, but I want to just do those three breaths because I just love it.
Sure. So if you feel comfortable to do so, I invite you to close your eyes. Otherwise, just lower your gaze to a fixed point in front of you. And just placing two fingers or the palm of your hand to the center of your chest. Just first allowing that touch to connect to your body, to your heart's intelligence, and to your nervous system. Just knowing that right now, you're in a safer space. Now inviting you to take a beautiful deep breath in through the nose, filling that belly fill with air and holding at the top. Holding and releasing out through the mouth with a sigh. And again, in through the nose, allow that air to travel through the throat, the heart, all the way to the stomach, and hold. Release out through the mouth with a sigh. And once more, allowing that beautiful breath of air in, breath of life and love to feel your whole body expanding that stomach and holding. Releasing out through the mouth with a sigh, knowing that breath of life and love will come back with every inhale afterwards. Allow your breath to return to its own natural rhythm. Move your body as it needs to move, and when you are ready, and only when you are ready, you can open your eyes.
Thank you. That was so nice. I love it. I haven't done that for a while. Oh, with somebody like that, you know, it's really nice to have that connection and do that. So, and you would suggest doing that in the mornings, I'm guessing, or I mean, you can do it anytime, obviously, but what a great way to start the morning.
Well, exactly. But I would just first off recommend just trying to know that you can do it at any point in the day. If you're waiting for that kettle to boil, for you to make that cup of tea in the morning, if that's the time that you remember to do it, then do it. If it's the time when you're in the shower, because that may be the only time that you have alone time, or sometimes with my children, it's still not. They're still knocking on the door. But to know that, I don't care if it's because you're sitting on the toilet, because that may be the only time. But just before you go to bed, as you're laying in bed and just taking those deep breaths, it's just allowing that beautiful love to come back to you, that beautiful remembrance that you are whole, that you are valued, loved, worthy, and enough.
Oh, thank you so much. That was a beautiful way to finish off a segment. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, that's all right. Stay on, because I need to talk to you after this, and I will just, finish off. So, guys, jump on the website, stacyweb.com.au. Remember the Australian business. Now, what I was going to say, like, share, subscribe, please do what we need to do so we can get this out and practice that breath work. That was just so relaxing. You can play the end of this. I'll actually tag it so you can see where you can go, and you can just keep playing this whenever you need to, if you need to, you know, have that feeling of just chilling out. So that is me for today. Have a great week. I will see you next week at the Voice of Intuition. You can, and get to me too if you want to, through Intuitive Personal Development Facebook group, and I do the free flower readings on there. So jump on and pick a number, and we'll do a flower reading for you. All right, I'm going now because I'm running out of time. Bye for now. Have a great week.